It's good to see you this morning. We have a lot of folks out today, but I'm so glad that you made the choice to come worship with us here at Pleasant Hill this morning. Today's a special day for us as we recognize our veterans, and also we have a guest speaker I'll be introducing shortly. But I appreciate all of you being here today. As you know, this coming Tuesday, the 11th, is Veterans Day, and we always recognize our veterans for Veterans Day. And so I want to ask all of our veterans, if you would please stand where we can recognize you this morning. All of our veterans, please stand. Amen. We've got, quite a few. Come on, guys, ladies. Yeah, just give them a good hand. Thank you. Thank you for your service, for your dedication to our country. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We have a special gift for you this morning, all of our veterans. If you noticed when you came in the foyer this morning, there were some beautiful flags there. Those flags had been donated by Woodmen of America, and they wanted to donate these flags in recognition and honor of our veterans today. So all you veterans, when you leave out this morning, be sure that you take one of those flags. There should be plenty there for everyone, okay? So God bless you. Thank you so very much. We're so privileged to have Angelo Lamebo with us today, he and his wife and his mother-in-law. And they're sitting back there on the back pew, and we're just so privileged to have them here. Angelo was here, I don't know what, a couple of years ago maybe, or 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And he spoke to our men's group and sang. And man, this guy can play the guitar and sing. And I was hoping you had your guitar with you today. Do you have it? Could you sing for us today? Well, that'd be awesome, yeah, if one of our guys don't mind him using your guitar. Where's our guitarist at? Anybody mind him using the guitar? It only come from Joel. Well, God bless you. It's Angelo, it's so good to have you and your wife and your mother-in-law with us today. And Angelo is going to come and preach this morning. He is a missionary from the Philippines. And he has a lot of information to share with us as well as the Word of God today. So, Angelo, you come on. Let's give him a good warm welcome this morning as he comes. God bless you, brother.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank my brothers and sisters in Christ at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church for this wonderful meeting. Pastor, thank you so much for your kindness, Pastor Danny. And thank you for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit. And thank you for making this meeting possible. And for those of you who do not know me yet, my name is Angelo Lumibao, and I'm a missionary from the Philippines and to the Philippines. And I'm 44 years old, and I'm married. And I would like to introduce my wife, Rhea. She's there. Will you stand up, please? And my mother-in-law is with us in this travel. Her name is Julie. It's her, she's 83 years old now. And it's her first time in her entire life to travel. And we are so glad to that the Lord opened the door for her to visit and travel with us here in your beautiful country. And they say that I am smart enough to bring my mother-in-law. My wife taught me on that. So I've been in the ministry for many years, and in behalf of my family and the people of Independent Bible Baptist Church of Pantabangan, I am very grateful to you and thankful for your faithfulness in supporting us in prayers and financial support. Your love and support for us encourage us to continue our efforts to reach our people with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm here today to share the update and the vision that God gave me in the ministry. And what I'd like to share is a short video, if that works. It's still working. Yeah. But yes. And I have a video presentation, if it's ready now. So if I apologize because I just gave it to them this morning, and if that will not work, it's okay. To make my time, my time is a little bit short, and I've been in their ministry for many years, and Philippines is divided into three major islands. And it's divided Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. And I am in the north part of the Philippines, Luzon Island, 6 hours away from the capital city of the Philippines, which is Manila. The town is called Pantabangan. It has 14 villages and it has 60,000 population. And we started the ministry from scratch and we don't have much. But the Lord bless our ministry. So now the video is ready, and without further ado, let's watch the video. Okay. Yes. While we are waiting for the video, I will sing a song. I hope this song will be a blessing to each. Oh, sound check. Wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see? And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. When my Jesus saved me, yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the lowest seen sick soul have life anew and be made pure, pure and whole. And I have failed and lose the have seen and set my spirit free. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Is it working? If not, I will sing again.
Just go ahead and run. Maybe they can get it by the end of the service.
Yes, yes. And well, this morning I would like to bring the message from the Word of God. And this morning, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. And it's a humbling experience for me to stand behind this pulpit. This is the very first time that I will speak in front of many people. And I'm a little bit nervous, but please pray for me. Pray for me that the Lord will use me as a blessing to this church. And this morning, I would like to share a message from the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says in verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Before we continue on, let us bow our head and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are light in darkness. We thank you that you are the bread of life. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You're all that we have ever needed or will ever need. We thank you for the privilege of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here, gathered us under the banner of your name, that you might work in the works of God in and through us. We pray right now that you would anoint our hearts and anoint our ears to hear the word of the Lord. May it take lodging in our inner being, and we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it all. For it's in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. In the same passage in the Bible that the Lord teaches with his disciples in Luke chapter 11, we can see here in verse 1, that the disciples confronted confronted Jesus and asked the Lord to teach them to pray. In verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus replied in a manner which led to vital truths concerning the entire concept of the prayer. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. It helps us understand why there is a kingdom and what our roles in this kingdom are. What the kingdom is all about. And this morning, I would like to share to you three important aspects of God's kingdom. The aspect of God's kingdom. First aspect of God's kingdom is we can see here the object in God's kingdom. Everyone wants to be king. Most people in this world wants to be the top dog. They want to be the big kahuna, big cheese, big enchilada, head honcho, the big wig, the grand puba. Everyone wants to be in a high position or of great influence. You see, in this world that we live in, people want to be the boss. They want to be the one that everybody has to answer to. They want to be the one that makes every or all the decisions. You see, in this world that we live in, it puts a premium on being the person in charge. We even teach our kids that it's good to seek that top position. In The Lion King, the song says, I just can't wait to be king. You know that song, children? We want to be the president. We want to be the store manager. We want to be the CEO. We want to be the king or the best at whatever we are doing. We are taught this from the day we were born. We tell our children to be the very best. We teach them that they can be whatever they want to be and that they can be the king of whatever they set their mind to. You can be the king of Walmart. You can be the king of McDonald's. Or you can be the king of Burger King. But in God's kingdom, it's all about God. It's all about who He is. It's about recognizing His authority, to acknowledge that He is the only king, and we ought to surrender our life and affection to His agenda. There cannot be two kings in the kingdom of the Lord. Amen? In Philippians chapter 2, if I will open and read it to you, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, there are two characters that we can see here in our text, Christ's humility and Christ's lordship. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Listen to this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. My friends, my beloved brethren, in God's kingdom, it means He is King. Jesus is our one and only King. We must honor Him as King in His kingdom. The second aspect I would like to share to you this morning is the objective of God's kingdom. What about God's kingdom? What was Jesus talking about when He was teaching on how to pray? He said for us to pray, Thy kingdom come. He was talking about the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is vastly different than the kingdom of this world. The nature of God's kingdom, in His kingdom, the first is last, and the last is first. In His kingdom, the head is the tail, and the tail is the head. Things don't operate the same in the kingdom of God. Up is down, and down is up. By nature, in His nature, the character and the nature in God's kingdom, the Bible stresses it in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 29, the Bible says, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And if we will look in Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, I will read verse 51. When Jesus was with His disciple, Jesus Christ is steadfastly desiring to go to Jerusalem. In verse 51, it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, And it came to pass, when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. And He asked His disciples to go ahead in their way, maybe to look for a place where they can lodge for a night. But it says in verse 52, And entered into a village, they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. You know, the Samaritans and the Jews doesn't have any fellowship. In the Bible times, they are at war. They don't say hi to each other. And it says here, the disciples were very mad at them, very mad at those people. And the disciples said to Jesus, in verse 54, listen to this. And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? They were very mad, to the point that they asked the Lord if they will pray or command the fire to come down from heaven and consume those people. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ taught them about the important character that we should have as His disciple. And the Bible says in verse 55, But He turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But to save them. Jesus taught them the very essence of being in the kingdom of God. What was that? What was that? Just like Jesus Christ when He came on earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He said, For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus came. Jesus came not just to heal, not just to give the physical needs of the people, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. At first, the disciples were ignorant of their attitude, of their character. Their hearts was full of pride. But the Lord warned them. It's easy for us to say, come, see our zeal for the Lord, and to think we are very faithful in His cause when we are seeking our own objects and even doing harm instead of good to others. I want to say to this congregation this morning that God sent His own Son to die on the cross for us. But God wants not just only an only begotten Son. God wants His redeemed. God wants His redeemed in a state that corresponds with Christ in the kingdom of God. And the Bible stresses that in Matthew chapter 8, 28. If we will open our Bible in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My friends, in particular, I'm talking about God's desire to use each and every one of us. God's desire to take His power and His purpose. Purpose of what? Purpose for us. For us to be used by God to share the gospel to the lost and dying world. God does want to work in conjunction with man. God's power has been placed into the hands of people. I know that Jesus Christ satisfies the heart of God. But when we step in to work with God, that's when He begins to smile. God's will and kingdom will be fulfilled in earth, but it will be done through a different means. The means is us. And sometimes, that is the issue. The issue of in the kingdom is, even the Bible says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are but few people that are willing to step up and be involved and be a part of God's kingdom, in God's kingdom. And the Bible is teaching us if we want to see His kingdom come, we must make ourselves a servant. A servant. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45, but Jesus called them to Him and said unto them, ye know not that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And even in Philippians chapter 2, a while ago that we read, He humbled Himself. Let this mind be in you, the Bible says. It means you cannot do anything in the kingdom of God without being a servant. Without being a servant. And Jesus Christ teaching His disciples in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, and He sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You must become last in order to become first. God's kingdom calls for humility and service, where greatness comes from serving others. No, my dear friends, modern Christianity has sold out to being church members, but not members of the kingdom of God. We say we believe Jesus, but in our actions, we have proven different. In the kingdom of God, it also requires sacrifice. In order to advance the kingdom of God, it would require sacrifice. You see, in the first church in Acts, in the book of Acts, they knew how to pray, "Thy kingdom come." They knew that if they wanted to see His kingdom come manifest in their lives, there would be some sacrifices. They understood that praying, "Thy kingdom come," meant that some of them might suffer. Just like Stephen. In the Bible, he was stoned because he wanted to see His kingdom come. John the Baptist was beheaded because he wanted to see His kingdom come. James was slain with sword because he was determined to see His kingdom come. Philip, Matthew, Timothy, and one of my favorite apostles in the Bible is Apostle Paul. He suffered many things. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted. He was put into prison, bound with chain. And yet, despite of all those things, he was boldly preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God. And many others all suffered and were killed because they were steadfast in their desire to see His kingdom come. And because they were willing to suffer and sacrifice for the kingdom of God, they saw God's kingdom come. They turned their world upside down. It was the move of God that sparked the apostolic movement that we are a part of today. And it all happened because there was a group of people that placed the kingdom of God above everything else in their lives. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." My dear friends, we are here today because of them. We have a church today because of their steadfast desire to see His kingdom come. Remember those prominent leaders before you who fought battles you've never had to face. They pioneered ministries without digital platforms, navigated challenges without today's resources, and built churches from the ground up. My friends, the 20th century is gone, and many of the people that saw and experienced those mighty moves of God are gone or are dying off. Now we are here in the 21st century, and I for one believe that we are living in the last century before the coming of Christ. I believe that we are living in the last days. And I believe that the rapture is closer than most of us think. Just look around us, at our world right now, and you can see the signs. Yes, we do not know exactly when He will come, but the Bible wanted us to be able to see the signs of His coming. And I don't know about you, but I can see the signs. The Bible says, "At the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters. I will go on so on and so forth." But my friends, my beloved brethren, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must ask the question in these last days, who is going to sacrifice everything to see His kingdom come? You know, if I will share to you about what's going on in the Philippines right now, the Philippine government is currently grappling with the major corruption of billions of funds. Goes directly to the pocket of some individual politician, leading to public protests and calls for accountability. And we are facing internal crisis. We are in a brink of collapse because of those people, because of the system that has had before until now. I don't know if we have a truthful government. I always ask myself, do we still have a good governance in our country? All I can say is no, we just have a dummy government. Dummy. We have like we are just puppet. People that are living in poverty are still getting poor. And it sparked public anger. Large-scale protests here and there demanding accountability from officials. We have ongoing issues like human rights, extrajudicial killings, and with the conflict and the conflict with the communist rebels, and the South China Sea continues. The disputes of South China and the Philippines. 2 weeks ago until now, we have multiple earthquakes from north to south, and hundreds of people died there. It hit the Philippines. We had 2 nights, or if I'm not mistaken, we had a big storm or hurricane that struck through the Philippines in the southern part. If you will watch the news, it breaks my heart. A lot of people died there. And right now, my friends, I'm standing behind this pulpit. Please pray for us, because there's a great storm happening right now in the Philippines, in the northern part of the Philippines, where my 3 kids are staying now. Why am I saying this, my friends? Because the Lord is coming soon. We are living in the last days. I see my country hopeless. But my friends, I just want to share to you, if I have a choice, I will just stay here, preacher. Because you have a beautiful country. You have a lot of resources. You have buildings like this that you can be warming up. But my friends, I will not do that. Because this world is not our home. I will go back to the Philippines where I was born. Because the Lord always speaks to our hearts. And I've learned with this prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I'm here standing in your behalf, ready to go. And I will sacrifice for the cause of Christ, because I want that prayer to be real in my life. I would like to see that prayer manifesting in my life. Again, this world is not our home. Amen. We have a home in heaven. And I don't think we need to conclude that all hope is lost in the Philippines. There is only one hope. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go on, keep on, keeping on, sharing the gospel to the regions beyond. Because there's only one hope. And Jesus said to us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And last but not the least, I hope you're still with me today. The aspect of the kingdom of God is there's the enemy of the kingdom, Satan. Satan is our enemy. Satan is trying to distract us. He's trying to get our attention off of the kingdom of God. He is trying to distract us in any way possible. He wants us to focus on setting up our own kingdom. He wants us to get distracted by rat race of life. And we are not just dealing with a generation that is distracted or disconnected. We are dealing with a generation that is under attack. The enemy is systematically working to distort truth, drown out the voice of the church, and lure young people into deception. My friends, blasphemy grows loud in this land. Infidels seek to undermine the very foundation of truth because the clouds of superstition cover this land. Satan doesn't know love. Satan doesn't know gentleness. He doesn't know meekness. He doesn't know kindness. The only emotion that he is capable of is hatred and anger against the kingdom of God. And the motivation of Satan, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath." Great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let me tell you something. Satan discerns the signs of the times. Satan is doing everything he could do to destroy God's kingdom. And he is working double time, overtime, without ceasing, trying to deceive many, knowing he has but a short period of time. I just want to stop here and ask you today, would you agree with me today that the shortness of our time ought to steer our hearts? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Life is short. I'm telling you, God wants to turn this world upside down. And the only vehicle he has is the church. And the church should be as motivated as Satan is for the same reason. Our time is short. And again, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. We need revival. We need to step up. We need to pray for laborers. Let us be a part of thy kingdom come. My friends, I would like to conclude this morning with a simple talent that I have, preacher. And I have here a special talent that I always use for my illustration. And I have here a little tin can. I will make a painting. So, you're supposed to use a paintbrush to do paintings. But believe me, I can paint using this little tin can. It came from a sardine can. Of course, I eat the sardine. And what I'd like for you to do is, while I'm doing this, I would like each and every one of us to sing Amazing Grace. Can we do that? Amazing Grace. We will sing the four verses. And I would like to ask the pianist if someone who can play the piano. Thank you so much. And while I'm doing this, let us sing the song Amazing Grace. The four verses. But don't worry. I will finish this painting before the song ends. Ready now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now
Praise God, praise God.
Praise God, 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 praise God.
My friends, if you will see this little tin can, it's like saying, this is insignificant. There's no value in this little tin can. But beloved, even the smallest vessel can be used for divine purpose. When we take a simple piece of tin and place it before the flame, we are reminded that God often used the ordinary to perform the extraordinary. The fire that melts the crayon is not just a force of heat, but a symbol of the Holy Spirit transforming what once was rigid into something living and flowing. As the colors melt and blend, they testify that trials and burdens, when surrendered to God, can create beauty beyond our understanding. Each stroke of color becomes a prayer, and every drop of wax a whisper of worship. In that sacred act of creation, the tin, though rough and plain, becomes a holy altar where fire and color meet. It is written in Job chapter 23, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The melting of the crayon is the melting of pride, the surrender of self, and the birth of new creation. From wax and flame comes art, and from trial and faith comes testimony. See, if I can make a beautiful painting using this little tin can, I know and I believe God can use each and every one of us to make the kingdom of God more beautiful, like than this beautiful painting that I have here. Thank you so much, Pastor, and God bless you, Pastor. And of course, I have paintings that I made at the back, and I do not put price on that painting, but I appreciate if you give a donation, and we are desiring to build our church kitchen. And any donation that you will give, it will proceed to that project. Thank you so much, and God bless.